Hey, what's going on, everybody? Today, the pleasure to chat with Canadian singer-songwriter and Canada's Got Talent Season 2 contestant Samantha Meave Pearson. In this newest episode, Samantha talks about the start out to her career, Canada's Got Talent, growing up in Hamilton, Ontario, what life is like at Thorold Niagara, experience as a server, when she started busking, importance of having versatility, what she looks for when listening to music, and more. Now, with that being said, hope we enjoy my conversation with Samantha. Samantha, hello.
Hi.
I mean, it's great to chat with you. I mean, it's got to be a crazy ride for you so far, being on Canada's Got Talent and also having popularity on TikTok and people liking what you're posting and the content you're releasing. How has this journey been for you? Like, aside from Canada's Got Talent, which we can talk about later, but how has this whole thing in general been for you?
It's been amazing. I mean, I've always wanted to have a career in music, whether it be singing or writing songs or just performing in general. Like I'm always my happiest when I'm surrounded by music. So right now with where I'm at in my life, like writing my own music and recording it and being able to gig that around town and stuff, like so far that's been so great. So I'm really excited to see where it can go from here.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about Canada's Got Talent for a quick minute here. I mean, you're on the semifinals and now one step away from winning it all. What's going through your head? What do you wish for when it comes to the semifinals? What is that one wish?
I hope that I am able to resonate with Canada. I mean, I really hope that the audience will be able to see my story and maybe even see themselves in it a little bit, like that dreams can come true and crazy things can happen and you can be pulled off the street by Howie Mandel. Like I want people to resonate with my story, and obviously I want them to enjoy the performance. I'm really excited for tonight's semifinals episode. So
I mean, there's got to be a lot of, I guess, now confidence going into the semifinals rather than what you've had in the first audition. You know, here's Howie Mandel finding you on the street at busking and performing like you usually do. But then I guess now when you're looking at yourself in the semifinals, when you look back on that moment in that first audition, you look at that Samantha in that first audition. I mean, what goes through your head? What do you think about the Samantha back then compared to the Samantha now that's in the semifinals?
Well, when I first was approached by Howie and he asked me what my name was, it was very surreal to be able to say to him, "My name's Meave." Because that's my stage name, right? I mean, it's my middle name, but it's what I go by when I'm performing. And like to be able to, sorry, my dog's barking upstairs. I'm sure he'll stop in a second. But to be able to say that my name is Meave and like kind of become the person that I've always wanted to be on stage was so surreal. And I guess like in my audition, I felt more like Sam because I didn't really know what was going on. I was up there and I was singing. And now that I'm at the semifinals, I feel like I'm kind of like finally solid in myself, right? So it's like I am where I was meant to be, you know?
Do you feel happy?
Yeah, I'm so happy. I'm happy, but I'm nervous. Like I obviously there's like anyone would go through nerves, right? So it's like I'm definitely nervous right now, but I'm so excited too. Like very excited for what's to come.
What's one thing, I guess, that you've learned in this whole journey about yourself? Not about the competition, but what have you learned about yourself more so than the competition?
I have learned that I can do it. I'm capable of like being thrown into a situation where you don't really know what's going to happen and like, and just doing my best. I mean, if you had asked me like before any of this happened, like, would you be able to just walk on stage randomly and perform? Like, I probably would have said no. I probably would have been like, no, I'd be shitting myself. But like, I was able to kind of compartmentalize what was going on in that moment and just do what I had to do. And I'm proud of myself for that, I think. So, yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people will spread rumors about whether or not that scene, I guess, of you performing on the street and then Howie coming and discovering you. People say, is that scripted? Is that unscripted? What can you tell us about that? Was it scripted, the whole thing?
So it was definitely not scripted. I mean, I've said this before, and I've even responded to comments on my TikToks about this. Like, I am not an actor by any means. You can't give me lines and have me say them. It's not gonna work. So, like, in that situation, like, so the thing is, like, it's television, right? Obviously, things happen off camera that aren't necessarily shown. But in terms of like Howie coming up to me, I didn't know he was coming. I kind of looked up and saw all these cameras around me and just kept going because I was like, well, there's cameras on me. I mean, I guess I kind of have to just do whatever I'm doing right now. Clearly they're here for a reason. And then it just kind of went from there. But yeah, I've said before too, like watching it myself as a viewer, I could see how it would look scripted or fake or set up or whatever. But I think that's the beauty of it is like I pride myself on being an authentic person and always trying to live my authentic life. So if this was something that wasn't 100% real, I wouldn't do it. Like I wouldn't want to look like a fake, you know what I mean? But I guess that's something that you can't necessarily avoid when you have a whole bunch of eyes on it who know that sometimes Hollywood can be a little bit fake. So it's like, I guess you take what you can get. I just really hope that people can follow my story and realize that it is genuine.
Yeah, and can you talk about your also I really want to know about this whole busking experience for you and when that started, because that basically was the whole premise of your career at the beginning of this whole thing, busking on the street and hoping just one day that someone would discover you and now give you that opportunity to fly now and now have a career in music. I mean, when did that all start for you?
So I actually started busking for the first time last summer. I've sang my whole life. Like I used to sing in singing competitions when I was a child. And I would be in various bands in high school and stuff like that. But when I graduated high school, I kind of just stopped doing music altogether. I thought I was going to focus on academics and getting into the workforce and this and that. But I always longed to be singing. And it sounds really corny, but it's so true. Like, I would be sitting at my office job, just like writing 8 songs a day, being like, this is what I really want to be doing. So when I realized that I could just take a speaker and go outside and sing on the road, and nobody had to stay and watch me, but if people wanted to, they could. There was something very freeing about the realization of being able to busk. And when I went out there in the summer, I was doing it for money, really. Like I was doing it to be able to pay my rent, and stuff like that. And the money was really great. So I kept doing it because I realized that I can do what I love and still make money off of it, you know? I didn't necessarily do it for the purpose of someone finding me because I didn't know that that was possible, really. Like you hear about those stories, but it's like for you to actually be in that situation, it just feels so unbelievable. So yeah, I was doing it to get by, and the fact that it helped me get discovered is just like the best cherry on top, you know?
I mean, talking about, I guess, this whole busking experience for you, and I guess, I mean, you're originally from Niagara, correct?
So I'm from Hamilton, Ontario originally, but I've been living in the Niagara region for about 2 years now. So I consider Niagara my hometown right now. But yeah, I grew up in Hamilton, so it's a
I
little
mean,
different.
I want to know what is life like in Niagara?
There's lots of tourists. It's very different from any other city in Ontario because the people that go to Niagara go there for the attractions of it, right? So like in the summer, it's so much busier than the winter. It's like a ghost town when there's snow. But in the summertime, it's lively and you're meeting people from all around the world. And like, I'm a server, so I started serving in Niagara, and I just realized how rich it was with like culture and just music and everything come summertime. It's really great to live there. So yeah, I love it.
I mean, where were you serving in Niagara?
I serve at the Country Chalet restaurant. It's off of Stanley Avenue, pretty much right downtown, and it's a breakfast buffet, which is perfect. I serve drinks and I set up the buffet and I make friends with my tables, and yeah, I still do it every once in a while. It's a great job. I don't want to give it up just yet, so.
Absolutely. And you know, my family has been on vacation to Niagara for a long time now,
Yeah.
and what I found really interesting walking down, I guess, the strip of Niagara or the downtown part of Niagara is that when you're walking by on the strip and you're seeing Hard Rock Cafe near you, you're seeing all sorts of like casinos, but when you're walking by the Hard Rock Cafes, what you kind of notice a lot is there's a lot of live music going on, and there's a lot of artists trying to make their own career out of it and trying to make it in the business. You know, it's not like they do it for free and they don't care about doing it. They really do care about doing their craft there. And you know, like I remember hearing this one person doing "Drift Away" by Dobie Gray, and I thought it was incredible to hear that there is that style of music out there still. And there's still people doing music of that genre and that era. I mean, what are your favorite parts of Niagara region, I guess?
Well, there's a lot of like areas in Niagara. I happen to live in Thorold, so I'm like right on the edge of downtown Niagara Falls. So I love going downtown because it's like a 10-minute drive, being able to see just the beauty of the falls. And like, I think that's my favorite place to busk, actually, is like right out front of the falls. Sometimes you can't. There's like security guards who tend to monitor the place, but every once in a while you can get a spot where you have like a perfect view of the water and you can sing, and it's so nice. So I really like the falls, and I love Niagara on the Lake. That's a beautiful area too. There's a lot of great places to gig there within the wineries and stuff like that. So that's been really nice as well.
Like I've always found fascinating about Niagara region is that like when you're going to Niagara Falls and people will talk about Niagara Falls as a summer vacation place or just a vacation place in general, there's a lot of things to do. There's arcades for the kids. I mean, there's so many games and different like haunted houses there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be crazy. But then I don't want to say like people make a lot of money there, but like you've got to think that like that's like a really like I guess rich place in regards to like people earning money there because of how big the tourist I guess attraction is now nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it can be. I really think that COVID-19 had a bit of a hit on the money that Niagara is able to make with like travel stopping and stuff like that for the last couple of years. I know that a lot of businesses have actually gone down in Niagara Falls because it's just not as rich with tourism as it used to be. And on top of that, all of these places are only really making money throughout the summertime because, I mean, we have a pretty short summer out here in Canada and Ontario, I guess. And it's like, come wintertime, it's really dead around there. Like, there's no cars on the street, there's nothing. So it's different living there because you see the fullness and the richness and the culture of Niagara in the summer, and then come wintertime, it's a very different place, and it's unfortunate. Like, I wish there was more travel towards Niagara in the winter because it's so beautiful in the wintertime, like with the frozen falls and stuff and the light displays and everything. I think more people need to get out there in the winter.
I mean, I've been there in the wintertime and it is a ghost town. It
Yeah.
really is. Like especially if you're like going on a March break getaway,
Yeah.
that's when it hits the worst, like an absolute worst, because it's like they have like a winter, I guess, storm around the March break time area. And it's really cold. I mean, what do you expect? It's Niagara. I mean, it's Canada. Like that's the thing about like I feel like there still isn't like I'm not saying that Well, I don't hate Niagara, but I will say here's something that I found fascinating about the whole thing. I remember when you, I think the last time we went to Niagara, we went for a camping vacation, and driving down the road, there's so many, I guess, people don't notice this, but there's a lot of, I guess, green grass areas. There's a lot of like homes in nowhere towns, basically. Like it's basically like green grass farms. And that's it. Like, there's nothing around. Like, you have to really get to the countryside of Niagara to understand the whole, like, this whole premise of what we're talking about. Because
Yeah, totally.
I've seen a lot of like green grasses and farms there, and I'm like, this is like a lot of people don't talk about that place, man. I've always wondered, what do people do there, man? Like, what do people do there? What do they think about getting a house there and living in a place where they have nothing around them,
I
just
know.
a farm? You know, and like horses and cows, whatever animals. But like, I've kind of admired it, like in the beginning of it. Like, it's the lifestyle that I feel people just really feel grateful for. And you know, having nothing around you makes you grateful for everything else that comes about in life, right? I mean, now that we're talking about this whole thing, I mean, Canada's Got Talent we talked about, but I want to talk about the whole thing with the judges, because the judges gave you such good compliments as well. You know, there's so many different things that they said about you, about your performance in the first audition. I mean, Cardinal Official said, I'll tell you, I've performed on probably thousands at this point, thousands of stages, but I don't know if I've ever had the pressure of what had just happened to you. Not everybody under the type of pressure with like no time to prepare can come up there and deliver the way you did today. Thank you for sharing that gift with us, with all of us today. What does that mean to hear that from, you know, I guess judges like Cardinal Official, who's been in the business for such quite a time?
Yeah, I just it's so surreal to be able to hear those words from somebody that I've looked up to since I was like a child. Like I used to bump Cardi's songs all the time. Like it's like, and then for him to say that to me, it felt like, I say this all the time, but I don't know how else to describe it. Like it did really feel like a dream. Like I felt like I was dreaming. Like how are these people who are so talented, and like not only are they talented themselves, but their job is to recognize talent, right? So it's like hearing that from them is just, it's very validating. And I guess it's something that I wasn't necessarily searching for because I was on the show randomly. They pulled me off the street, but it was definitely something that I needed to hear, I think, moving forward. It was really nice to get the praise that I got from the judges, and they're the best. So yeah, it's been great so far.
Absolutely. And I want to read two more quotes that the judges gave you. Lily Singh said, I don't say this often, but Howie, you did something great. You're proof that the universe has a plan. This is the beginning of something spectacular, and I think that your life is going to change. And then Howie Mandel, the one that discovered you on the street, said, I think talent is like a treasure, and sometimes it's buried, and sometimes you just got to find it and you unearth it. I think we just found a buried treasure. I mean, those are big words in terms of Howie, I guess, praising you for your talents, but also saying something that's so true. You know, I guess there is a lot of, when you look around in music today and up and coming artists, there is a lot of specialties that are buried, and people feel shy enough because people may think on the street that if you're performing, and the artist that's performing on that street is probably thinking in his head, nobody's going to show up, you know, nobody's going to care about what I do. They're just going to pass up and not help any up and coming artists. I mean, when you're busking on the street, does that, like, do those thoughts ever come in your head about, you know, I'm not good enough. People are not going to care. People are just going to pass by and not give, just to care in the world to support different young artists that are coming up in the music business. Do those thoughts ever come up?
Definitely. I mean, they would happen every single time I'd start busking. I remember like I would start singing, I'd sing a few songs, and if people didn't walk past me, or like, sorry, if people did walk past me and they didn't stop or at least like give me a little bit of change or something, it's a little discouraging because it's like, oh, none of these people like what I'm doing. That sucks. But obviously, like, I'm not going out there for the intention of everybody walking past me giving me money or everybody walking past me stopping. It's just, it did take the encouragement of a few people to stop and listen to me to get the confidence going. And I had to regain that every single time. It's like I'd start singing, the confidence would go down a little bit, but then somebody would stop or somebody would start taking a video of me or a couple would start dancing in front of me. And then all of a sudden I feel better. And it's like, yeah, that's not the best way to live your life is based on other people's validation. But I guess when you're in a business where that matters so much, those little moments really help gain self-confidence. So, yeah.
But then I also feel like people or artists in general should not have to worry about what other people think. But at the same time, you're trying to make it in the business, and sometimes you gotta have some tough skin. And
Well, that's
I mean, not in every case that you have to have tough skin, but like sometimes you just gotta stand up for yourself and defend yourself for different situations.
totally.
I mean, when things are not going in your favor, or things are not clicking in terms of your energy or your mood, how do you sort of, like, I guess, ground yourself is the right word to use. How do you ground yourself, but also get that positive mindset back in?
You gotta just do it, using the energy of the music. I mean, I would close my eyes and get more into the song and like not try as hard to hit the notes, just let them come out and like let the music flow through you. And like music is such a healing thing. Singing in general is such a healing creation. Like we do it to heal ourselves, to heal other people. Even if you can't sing and you're completely tone deaf, if you're driving in your car and you're alone and you're sad and you put on that song that just makes you feel good and you actually sing it, you're gonna feel like at least 50 times better after you're done. And I think that that's something that performers have to remind themselves of is like, yeah, it's a nerve-wracking situation when you're singing in front of anybody, but what you're doing when you're singing is such a healing thing for you and those around you. So you just gotta let it heal you. Like let it heal your mind and heal all of your doubts, and you'll just be better for it.
Absolutely. And I mean, when you, I guess, when you listen to music, and I've asked this to an American Idol contestant I just recently had on, and I was talking to him about music in general, and I was talking to them about, different artists that have already have their careers already established very well in the music business already. Like we talked about Taylor Swift, we talked about Kelsea Ballerini, we talked about different like country artists or pop artists, because to me, I like country music, but at the same time, like I listen to like old time country music, like the traditional kind that you would hear in the 50s and 60s. But and then we talked about the difference of what music is now compared to then, because when you think about Taylor Swift, she had so many genres. It wasn't just country, it wasn't just pop. Like a lot of her music is now a fusion of almost every single thing. Like it really is. It's like one thing you can listen to one time, you can listen to Taylor Swift doing pop song, and the next she'll do this whole like country infused type of what was it called? I think it was You Belong With Me was the song, and that was the song out of Nashville. Like that was her roots from Nashville, and then now she's incorporating the pop influence in it. And then when you hear Shake It Off, it's like people can call it pop. I don't call it pop. I look at it as like a pop EDM song, because there's still like layers of like different things that she does in Shake It Off that makes you think of like dance music. Right, like and like Kelsea Ballerini, people can say she's country. I don't think she's country. She's, I guess, labeled as country because she has country roots. But then when you're looking at different artists now, like Kelsea Ballerini, it's like now she's not country. She's soon gonna go into pop, and it's gonna be this whole different thing of like artists now transitioning from genre to genre. It's not just like one thing now. It's like a whole different slew of variations of music. I mean, so when you turn on the radio or you listen to Apple Music and you listen to your playlist of songs, what comes to mind when you listen to music?
I'm always looking for just a specific feeling. Like I listen to music to kind of amplify what I'm already feeling. So it's like if I'm feeling sad or doubtful or something, I'm gonna put on some music like, I don't know, Lana Del Rey. That's like gonna get me in my feelings and I'm gonna cry to it and I'm gonna have like this moment for myself. And then at the same time, if I'm like with some friends and I'm partying, I'm gonna put on some music that's gonna make us wanna dance and stuff like that. And I think that's what is so important as an artist is to be able to make music what's it called? Like that a lot of people will like you have to be versatile when it comes to things, and that's how you stay current in the music industry, especially as a woman. Like you have to reinvent yourself over and over again so that the consumers want to consume you. So I don't know. Yeah, it's I when I'm listening to music, I'm just looking for that feeling. And it's nice when you find one artist that can display so many different feelings at once, you know?
Yeah, and I actually had that on my notes about what you just said about being versatile. I mean, what I had on my notes here was I want to know about, like, do you feel that there is an importance of having that versatility in music, and even with yourself, like when you're doing like music and you're singing songs of different genres, do you feel that there's an importance for you to have that versatility to adjust to different things, even when it's uncomfortable for you?
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in stepping out of your comfort zone, like regardless of what it's about. But I guess music is my career, and that's something that I am learning to do right now. Like I've been writing music with various people, and mind you, I write most of my lyrics and my melodies and stuff like that. But when it comes to putting music to it, I'm really starting to take other people's ideas into consideration because I know that there is such a value in being versatile. I completely believe that. I mean, if you look at the artists that you just mentioned, especially Taylor Swift, like she is on top of the world right now because of her genius and being able to take all of these feelings and just display them in so many different ways. Like I honestly don't, I think if you listened or if anybody listened to all of Taylor's discography, you could find at least one song that you liked because there's so many differences in them. And I don't think you have to go as far as Taylor's gone. I mean, I think you can just stick with one genre and just do it really well and hopefully it'll work out for you. But when you can pick and choose from other genres and pull them into what you're already doing, I think that there's a huge value in that.
Absolutely. And I want to also like articulate this also about Taylor Swift and I guess the comparison of Taylor Swift and what you just said about Lana Del Rey, and for you to like have that specific feeling that you want to feel, because I feel like when I listen to Lana Del Rey, I think the song was Born to Die, I think, which was the one, and then I was listening to Bon Iver and Taylor Swift's Exile.
Yeah.
And I was like, they sound so similar. Like the songs, like the styles of songs were so similar because Born to Die, you could definitely hear like basically like a pin drop of the song. Like it was basically like a really like sad, depressing, like sort of feeling of a song. But then it also had like in the Born to Die song, it had like drums, but like not like crazy amount of drums. It was like 1-2 type feeling of drums. It was, then you hear the drums and you hear the cowbell, and then you hear the drums and the cowbell, and then behind it is the voice of, basically the voice of sadness, I guess, for Lana Del Rey and portraying that type of music. But like, I'm not saying she writes sad songs all the time, but like that song specifically, there just had like this whole like cohesion together of different things that I've heard in Bon Iver and Taylor Swift's Exile, then Born to Die, but that's what makes music music. It's not like people have like one thing that they stick to and they go with it and they run with it.
Yeah.
Like people are adjusting on the fly all the time. Like even if like one song does not go with the set and you're performing it live and you don't know what to do next, it's like they don't have that on their plan. Like
Yeah.
everything is a plan B. If one thing doesn't work, then you're gonna have to switch. It's the importance of versatility. It's you gotta have to find a way to, I guess, pick a song that's not like out of your wheelhouse, I guess, or
Yeah.
you can. It's okay if you want to step out of your wheelhouse and try something different. That's a whole another thing. But I feel it's interesting to see how artists kind of adjust every single time of their set list. And then when I'm like, I was so like blown away with Taylor Swift's like set list, of her tour,
Yeah.
this year. And I'm like, how is she doing this? Like, how in the world is she doing this?
I
You know,
know.
like I can't imagine like doing how many outfit changes to her, what, 48, I think 48, 47, 48 song list. I forget what the set list was.
So much that goes into it rather than just the songs. There's like the outfits, the hair, the acting that you have to do on stage. Like it's a lot.
But also setting the stage as well. I feel that takes quite some time to do that. And I don't know how they do that on the fly to change the whole stage outlook and the stage, like
I know.
the whole thing. I just don't get it. I don't know how they do it. But as we're wrapping up here, I want to talk about, or I want to ask you this. I mean, there's got to be a lot of musical influences for you, in terms of the whole discography of music, I guess, in general. And I've asked this to everyone that's come on this podcast, and I wanted to know about, if there was one artist that is already in heaven that you would want to play a song with, who would that artist be, and what song would you play?
Oh my goodness, an artist that's in heaven. Oh, you know what? That's easy for me. Amy Winehouse. I love her so much. I've watched her documentary on Netflix probably like six times at least. I think she was such a gem that was gone too soon. And I mean, I didn't know her personally, but I miss her like hell. So that would be amazing.
For sure. And I mean, I don't know how to ask this, but what would you say is the most powerful, immersive, out-of-body experience in music for you?
I think I'm gonna have to think about that one for a second. Like when it comes to music in general, I get that out of body experience when I'm on stage. Like it's like being able to sing the songs that I want to sing to me is just it's so it's life-changing to be able to go up there and like perform what you want to perform and like do it justice, I guess. And it's like, I don't know, just performing in general and singing in general. My sisters always say to me, I like songs that I can sing, and they're so right. Like any song that I turn on and if I'm able to sing it and it's in my range, then I love that song. So it's like if I can connect it to my voice, then that's just the best experience for me.
For sure. And well, it's the end of our time together, but thank you so much for chatting with me. I had such a great time talking about music and Canada's Got Talent with you. To the listeners who made it this far into the episode, thanks so much for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Canadian singer-songwriter, Canada's Got Talent Season 2 contestant, Samantha Maeve Pearson. You can also find Samantha on her Instagram, Facebook, and her TikTok page. You can help support my show by sharing with family, friends, or on social media. You can find me on all podcast streaming platforms. I've been your host, Shig Mikhail Tsang. Thanks for tuning into the show.